And that was in response to a text he'd sent me, would I teach on anger management? Had y'all gone there for a minute, didn't I? Unfortunately, I had Brandon going there for a while too, so I eventually made sure he knew that it was obviously. He said, ha ha, where's Quinn at? Because Quinn asked me a coffee the next morning. He said, when you did that, did he get it? And I said, well, eventually did, because he sent me a ha ha and a smiley face. And you all know smiley face means everything's good, right? So today it's going to be anger management, and I'll give my PowerPoint buddy a little time to get things ready, because I've really got nothing without the PowerPoint. We're going to read from Scripture. You know, when I think about what do I want to tell you guys about anger management, and just the words anger management brings a smile to my wife's face. She's probably thinking, couldn't have found somebody else to handle this one. Jack will tell you once I got so mad I threw a chair through a cabinet. I don't remember it, and if I don't remember it, that means it didn't happen. Does everybody know that, right? So we're going to start off. What would I want you to know? First of all, anytime someone asks me about a topic like this, I want to know what the Bible has to say about it. That's always a good place to start. So if young Mr. Abram can find any Bible on the PowerPoint, that's where we'll begin. Let's bow for a word of prayer while we're waiting. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we just pray you'd open up our hearts and our minds to understand not only anger, but why we do the things that we do, what your word has to say about it, and help us to be receptive to the techniques and the things that we can glean from this scripture that would help us to better handle ourselves, to be more thoughtful to one another, to be more loving and kind. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen. Slide number one, my good man. That's a little small. Surely, this is from Ephesians 4, verse 21. Also, if you notice me doing this, you know, it's not that I used to be in radio, but as Ryan is quick to point out, I have misshapen ears. And frankly, that makes me a little bit mad, but we'll go on. Ephesians 4, surely you have heard of him and were taught in him accordance with the truth, and that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Go to that next slide, because we have some things underlined. We see some of the roots. And this is really amazing how the writer does this, but he tells us some of the things that causes anger, but then he also tells us some of the things that happen as a result of anger. So he tells us, he says, get rid of all bitterness. Bitterness causes anger, rage and anger. He says, get rid of brawling and slander. You know, you start slandering me, you're going to make me mad. You may make me mad enough to slander you right back. See how that works? I think that's just genius. Along with every form of malice, we just have to think better of one another. Get rid of that malice. Be kind and compassionate. So he tells us right off the bat, there's rage and there's anger. And first we'll talk about that first kind of anger he talks about. It's a Greek word. Go to the next one. It's a Greek word. Paul uses the word thumos, which this word is translated rage. And it literally describes a blazing fire or wildfire. It just gives us this image in our mind of a fire that starts out. And when I read this, the first thing I thought about, Jill and I have a mutual friend named Larry, and outdoorsy kind of guy. I mean, he's always been an outdoorsy kind of guy. He was doing some brush cleaning off years ago. I don't know if you remember this or not, down in Sweetwater. And this guy who knows all the rules and how things work, it got away from him. And it got away from him because the conditions changed. And the wind started changing directions. So all of a sudden, instead of Larry fighting to control a fire on one side, it was blowing this way. He'd get over there and blow the other way. And it turned out bad. Not as bad as it could have been. But it just always amazed me. How could Larry let a fire like that get out of control? I mean, if you know Larry, I mean, this guy, like I said, he's the real deal as far as the outdoors go. How could he let it get out of hand? And I wonder at times when I've let my rage get out of hand, I wonder how many people thought, how could he let that happen? He knows better than that. Sometimes because of the environment, sometimes because of where you're at in your life, sometimes because of the atmosphere, your rage can burn like a wildfire and blow. And you think you got it controlled in one area, and guess what? It starts up in the next area. There's a couple different kinds of angers, and the first one is this rage. I think there's things that make us as followers of Jesus mad that probably doesn't make the other people mad. And I know you're probably thinking, oh, amen, glory to God, you're talking about holy rage. I'm not talking about that. You know, I don't know that we all get that bent out of shape. I get more bent out of shape out of your all sin than I do my own sin, amen? And that is what passes us, holy rage. I think God has holy rage sometimes. But it may not be for the reason you think. God doesn't get holy rage because he does not want you to have fun. He gets holy rage because he knows what's exactly the best for you. And if he says don't do it, because that's exactly what you need to hear. If you look at National Geographic, I discovered that they said that wildfires, they get out of control in dry places. And I want you to know that this word rage that Paul talks about, it's like a dry fire, and it's like a wildfire, and it gets out in the midst of dry people. Did you hear what I said? It gets going in dry people. The kind of rage that us as followers have is sometimes, man, we're just down on ourselves. We have shame issues. And we're ashamed because maybe we're like Paul, that which we do, we don't do, and the things that we wouldn't do, we do. And I just said do, but you know what I mean? That's exactly it. Sometimes that just causes us to have this other kind of fire that he talks about. The first one he talks about is rage. And Ephesians admonishes us to get rid of that kind of rage. You know what? I notice it doesn't say pray about it, you know, get teaching on it, talk to somebody. It just says get rid of it. Get rid of it. You got to get it out of your life. Proverbs says if you cannot control your rage, you're as helpless as a city without walls, always open to attack. I've heard it put this way. When you lose your temper, you're losing so much more than just your temper. You can lose your job. And there's probably some of us here that could give a witness that they lost a job because of their anger. Or I've heard it said, nobody wants to work along somebody who can get along with nobody, right? Can't get along with anybody. You can lose your friends. You can lose your relationships. You can lose your joy. I know people that are just so pent up with rage that they can't enjoy anything. And now we're finding out, man, you can lose your health. It'll just tear you up. There's a fellow helping his daughter with her homework, and he was trying to teach her the difference between anger and exasperation. And he was frankly getting a little exasperated because he could not get her to understand the difference between when anger turns into this exasperation or rage. So he picks up his phone and he calls a number at random and he says, is Homer there? And he says, you got the wrong number. He says, I'm sorry. He hits redial a few minutes later. He says, hey, is Homer there? The guy says, no, he's not here. Okay, no problem. Hangs up, waits a little bit, calls back, says, hey, man, Homer there? He said, bleepity bleep, no, Homer's not here. Waits a few minutes, calls back, says, hey, man, it's Homer. Have I gotten any calls today? That's the difference between rage and exasperation. The way that man felt there was exactly how it is. I don't know if you know this story, and it's actually true. I actually checked this out. It's baseball season, so it's time for a good baseball story that's not about Boston. In the spring of 1894, the Baltimore Orioles came to Boston, to play a routine game of ball. There's this Oriole named John McGraw, and if you Google this dude, he got into a lot of stuff, but on this particular day, he got into a fight. And within minutes, the both teams had joined. Now, this is 1894, remember. It kind of got out of hands. It got up in the grandstands. Next thing you know, it went from bad to worse. Someone set fire to the stands. And in 1894, that entire ballpark burnt to the ground, along with 107 other buildings in that area. Talk about rage. Boy, it could get away from you, can't it? Benjamin Franklin said, whatever begins in anger always ends in shame. Anger unchecked leads to hatred. And hate hurts the hater more than the hated. Did you catch that? I kind of muffed that a little bit. I'm going to repeat it. That's important. Anger or hate hurts the hater more than the hated. I came across a great quote on that. It says, anger is like an acid that does more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything in which it is poured. Isn't that the truth? Hatred unchecked, we got anger, leads to hatred. Hatred unchecked leads to revenge. And I heard it said that revenge is like biting a dog because the dog bit you first. Right? What's your boiling point? There's an old proverb that says, the emptier the pot, the quicker it boils. The reason wildfires get out of control is because there's different things that causes it to boil quicker or to start quicker. If you're a pot, what's your boiling point? Don't we all have different boiling points? I know some of y'all that it's really hard for me to make mad. But then there's some of you, I know I can push the right button. I can make you mad right here in front of all these people. Because we all have different boiling points. In the scriptures, one of the things the Holy Spirit is always referred to is this water. The more water, the higher the boiling point, right? It's harder to get a vessel to boil if you have more water in it. And the Holy Spirit is the same way with us. When we have that Holy Spirit in it, it just moves. It resets our boiling point. It's been said, the less the Holy Spirit you have or it has of you, the quicker you act like you don't have the Holy Spirit at all. And that's one of the problems with anger. All of a sudden, we look like a people that don't have the Holy Spirit. Science teaches us that water boils at the boiling point of the water at sea level is 100 degrees. However, the higher the altitude, the longer it takes it to boil. I want you to think about that. Do everything in your power to raise your boiling point. Husbands and wives. There's a husband just at his wit's end. He says, honey, how do you do it? You know, we fight. You just control your anger. I can't control my anger. I give up. How do you do it? And the wife says, well, when I get to where I just can't stand to look at you any longer, when I feel like pushing my fist through your face, I clean the toilet. He says, what? How does that help? She says, well, I use your toothbrush. There was an old preacher that he talked about your boiling point, your what makes you mad. And he said he had an advisory team. He said, when something happens, it's going to make me mad. He said, truthfully, I have an advisory team. He said, I sat down and to the left of me sits emotion. And he said, emotion, boy, he always has something to say. And he says, then sitting next to him is feelings and then memory. He said, something comes up. Boy, I can remember that person did me wrong. And memory sitting there, imagination's there. But my meeting is always ran by one person, and that person is anger. And I want you to know, I want to ask you, what runs your meetings when you're having to decide how to respond to someone? Do you respond emotionally, which tends to catch fire? Do you respond with how you feel, which tends to catch fire? Do you respond with your memory? Some people remember things better than others. And they usually wear dresses and yell at me. Right?
I don't wear dresses, so it's not me. Okay.
I just being honest. Sometimes we let memory come into our fightings and our arguments and how we react. Sometimes it's imagination. You know, I don't know exactly what Quinn meant by that, but I've got a pretty good idea, and I don't like it. Don't we do that? We make an assumption. We assume that we knew that their only agenda was to hurt my feelings. Their only agenda was to make me mad. Imagination, boy, that'll get the fire raging, and of course, just anger. The second type of you know, it says to put away the rage and the anger. The other kind of anger, if you go to the next slide, is this hidden anger. In Ephesians, it says, don't let the sun go down on you while you're still angry. Again, losing your temper. That's good. Losing your temper can be the beginning of losing your spouse, relationship, jobs, health, joy. You all can probably think of others. Go to the next one. The other kind, thumos, is like an erupting volcano, like a wildfire. But perigamos is like a volcano still smoldering. So one is like an erupting volcano. The other one's like a smoldering one. And if you go to the next slide, what happens is that smoldering anger or pergismo can become thumos. So if you have smoldering anger, it can become, very easily become, the erupting kind of anger. What is it that down deep inside of you you're mad about right at this very moment? That you just smolders at some level in your life. Any of you have those kind of things that right now, some of you have it. Agitation is one of those things that can make it happen. Agitation can cause hidden anger to become this hideous anger. Or as I like to say, agitation can take the rage out of its cage. Anyone here, and my wife is not allowed to respond. Anyone here wonder how somebody can go from 0 to 60 when it comes to getting mad? Have y'all know that? Have you ever known anybody that could just that quick get mad? How many of you are married to somebody like that? I said without my wife. Just Julie? Gosh, maybe my imagination runs wild. Maybe Brandon wanted me to teach on this because he thought I needed it worse than the rest of you. Any of you have a spouse, a loved one, a friend, an enemy that seems to go from 0 to 60 that quick on anger? Steve's married to one. Anybody else want to give us a witness? Because I want to know where to go from here. Do I need to talk about this? If y'all don't have this, and I won't waste the time on it.
My father.
Your father? Did you ever assume it's because he just didn't like you that well? Did you let that imagination run wild? Did you think there might be other things going on in his life? Robin Webb, work your way up here. Did you ever think that it might be just something else that was going on in his life? Okay, this will make for really, if you didn't catch that, what she was saying is her father gets mad, and I ask her if she ever, you know, just let her imagination run wild and think, oh, Dad doesn't love me. You know, there was a lot going on with Dad, I bet. And sometimes it's this hidden anger that we have. This will make for really interesting podcasting, so you mute me over there because I'm going to tell Robin something, okay? Okay, Sam. Thank you. I just told her something that's just been eating at me this week, actually the last couple of weeks. Julie, come here for a second. This is my wife, for those of you that don't know her. Whisper in my ear what you think that I told her that's beneath me for you. I'm afraid this didn't work out like I thought it would, but I think it may have worked out even better. We've been married like what, 30 years? And I bet you I could have let her guess a couple times and she wouldn't have gotten it. And she would say, well, in the relationship, you know, I'm the one that listens. You know, Doug doesn't listen to me, doesn't hear me. And that's usually true. I think it's true in most relationships. But at the risk of enraging some of you women, I want you to know that if we get an F for listening, that doesn't mean you get an A for listening. Robin, don't go anywhere. I might need you. Don't be trying to deflect what I just said, because you know I'm telling the truth now. Just because I get an F doesn't mean vis-a-vis that y'all get an A, you women get an A, right? So here's the deal. I have this working on me. And I think that's kind of like a, you know, there's some things that are this smoldering issue. I have a smoldering issue that's went on for weeks. I have probably in my own way brought it up. But, you know, I'm a guy, so I really don't want to talk about it or anything. She's totally oblivious. And what's really funny about that, the moral of this story is, the blow up, my wife was partially at fault for the agitation. Partially. It was nothing. How could he get so mad, so worked up at something that small? Yet she basically bore the brunt of the wildfire, yet oblivious to the smoldering issue. And I found most of these smoldering issues are like me-related things. And you guys. Not the big picture things, but like self-esteem and shame and weight and some of these things that Christians don't even have. And the agitations can be like cut off in traffic. How many of you get agitated when you get cut off in traffic? How many of you get mad at your boss? Boy, we need to talk. Get mad at your boss, all those kind of things. And all of a sudden, you blow that quickly. So, I blow not because of the small agitation, which was her trying to put me in the middle between something going on with her and the kids. You know, I got an old uncle used to say, don't ever get in the middle of a peeing match because you're bound to get wet. How many of you know that one, right? I didn't want to get in the middle of it. And I felt totally justified blowing my stack. And she's still, to this day, oblivious to what it is. Go back to your seat, and you can whisper in her ear, unless you think it's something we need to share out loud. Be honest. Whisper. Thank you. There's a beautiful quote on anger. If you're right, there is no need to get angry. And if you're wrong, then you have no right to be angry. You agitated me, dear. Love you. But you were the adjutant. That was just the smoldering issue. If you're right, there's no need to get angry. If you're wrong, then you have no right to get angry. Isn't that words to live by when we argue? There's a comedian named Joe Matarese, and Joe talks about the problem with fighting, rage, and arguing with bosses and spouses is that we can't fade a commercial. He said, it'd be so nice if we just fade to a commercial. He said he was in New York and he listens to talk radio. And he said he just loves talk radio. He said he was there in Dallas. This is when Dallas had just picked up Terrell Owens. And he said the guy, he thought the guy was just going to explode. The guy kept on saying, this is awful. you don't have to be a football fan. You can be a baseball fan. You don't have to be a Dallas fan. You can be a New York fan. My goodness, you can even be a Boston fan. Anything. You got to know this is the worst thing in sports ever. You don't even have to be a sports fan. He said, this is just the worst thing ever. You could be a fan of not sports. You could be a fan of piano playing. But for them to sign Terrell Owens is the worst thing that could ever happen. He said, you need to shoot yourself. Just shoot. No, don't shoot yourself. Shoot Terrell Owens. Then shoot yourself. It's 4:03 in the a.m. We'll be back on the fan. Do you see how just smoothly he did that? Do you see how smooth it would have been if I could have just, at that fight that you and I were having, be just like, you know, I understand what you're saying. I have a disability, and my disability is sometimes I have trouble following what you're saying. And why don't you just accept me the way I am? It's 5:03 in the kitchen. I'll be moving to the living room. Wouldn't it be nice to fade to commercial? But alas, we can't fade to commercial. So let's go through a couple tips from the Bible and from the Mayo Clinic on how to control, get our anger under control. I figured there might be some people here that wasn't really down with the Bible. And I figured a few wouldn't be down with Mayo Clinic, so we'll cover them both. Here's one. Take a time out. Take a time out. You know, one of the things, you know, I work with kids and I work with parents of kids to help them work better with their kids. And one of the things I always tell them, time out is not a punishment. It's a technique. It's not a punishment. Don't let your kid think that. You need to teach your kid that it's a technique to control rage. The Bible puts it this way. James says to the ragers, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Timeouts is just that. It's a technique on your anger. Get some space is the second one. Just take a little space. Take a break from the person you're angry with. Let your frustration subside a little bit. You know, one of the things I hate, you know, I hear people saying, well, I told them, don't you walk away from me. Let me tell you, sometimes the worst advice I've ever heard is when somebody says, well, I told them not to walk away from me. Sometimes the best thing you can do is walk away from a situation, right? Y'all know that? You don't do it, but you know it. That's why we go to church, to learn about things we should be doing that we don't. Walk away from your anger. Just walk away from it. A statement by Austin O'Malley says this, if you keep your mouth shut, you'll never put your foot in it. So walk away. Sometimes you just need to get some space. I know some of you have this desire, you've got to speak and you've got to get this out, but sometimes it's best if we just walk away. Third thing is, wait till you're calm to express your anger. Did you hear me? Do not express your anger when you're in the midst of rage, when you're burning up like a wildfire. That's the worst time to express your rage or your anger. Wait to express yourself. Here's one for all of us. Get some exercise. Sometimes physical activity. You'd be surprised. Herb's shaking his head back here. Those of us that really have had to concentrate on controlling our rage know that you do a little physical labor, a little activity, a little movement, and you'd be surprised how much that frustration will go away. Brisk walk, run, swim, lift weights, shoot baskets, whatever you can do. That's part of the walking away from it. Number five is a good one. Think carefully before you say anything. Because otherwise you'll say things that you regret. If you keep your mouth shut, you'll never put your foot into it. I would say that there's we may get to heaven and, you know, just for fun, Jesus pulls up a PowerPoint of how many times Doug got in trouble because he opened his mouth before he engaged his brain. And maybe I'm the only one like that, but really think carefully before you say anything. The next one says, identify solutions to the situation. Most situations have a solution, but the problem is we dig our heels in to argue and to anger, right? Once we give way to emotion, to our imagination, all of a sudden, it's not about that situation. You know, when somebody comes to me and says, oh, you wouldn't believe it, and I hope I'm trying to think of an example that hasn't happened. We got into it over the colors of the wall in the kitchen, right? Wrong. You did not. Everybody's just looking at you now like these are all stuff that we've done. No, we don't fight that often, right? But sometimes we could just, identify solution situation. Green, blue, Hey, I know. Ain't it blue green? It's better than fighting to the point of death like we do. Use I statements. I know you hear this. You say, you teach kids at school that. Yeah, we do, because unfortunately, when I hear adults argue, it's always you did that. You're not even talking about the situation. Now you're talking about me. You did it because you're a hothead. If you're a hothead, you always get the short end of the stick because you're going to get blamed because it's like, well, you're the hothead. You could just be totally innocent, but you did it. We need to do I statements. You picked the wrong color last time. Should be. I'd like to find a solution. I'd like to find something we both agree on. Number 8, don't hold a grudge. Man, I could talk about this for the next day. Hold a grudge, it means to hold, to carry, to walk around with a weight. You know, I don't care how badly you've been hurt. It could be totally legitimate. I tell people that have been through some of the worst kinds of abuse, I feel for you. But you're carrying a weight around that son of a gun doesn't even think about anymore. I know adults whose one of their parents left, they're still carrying that around, and they've went on and moved on. Because this hatred is like an acid, and it hurts the carrier more than it does the one that's supposed to be poured out on. Let go of grudges. Somehow we think that if I quit holding that grudge, then it's like I've given him a free ride. I'm just letting him off the hook. Right? You're just letting yourself off the hook when you lay down that grudge. Use humor to release tensions. And this is that self-depreciating kind of humor, not the making fun of your person you're arguing with kind of humor. In humor, it's self-depreciating humor, it's a way of releasing tensions and letting the person know that, you know, I realize I'm not perfect. And it's a really good way to do that. And the last one is practice relaxation skills. Some of us need it so bad that we need to really get a skill set in our head so that we know how we can relax and de-stress. It might be just taking a couple deep breaths. Just a couple, breathe deep. Let that oxygen get in. You know, most people don't breathe deep enough. Doctors will tell you that. We don't breathe deep enough. Absolutely. Tell that to everybody else. They won't believe it if I say it.
Okay. If your stomach moves and you breathe, you're not breathing deep enough. You're supposed to breathe through your diaphragm.
There you go. And I thought only women had diaphragms. Shows you what I mean. Again. Self-depreciating humor lets the tension out of the room. Deep breathing exercises, take it easy. Other proven ways to ease your anger includes listening to music. Okay? Not Limp Bizkit. That doesn't work. Has exactly the opposite effect. Herb, not Eminem. Listen to music that maybe doesn't have words. Another way, journaling things. Journaling is the best advice ever given in Scripture, in the world's religions, by AA, by TOPS, by Weight Watchers. Best advice ever given, least advice ever heeded. Journaling. Write things down. And doing yoga. We offer yoga classes here at TLO. What a great way to end your anger, to let it subside. I've got one last slide. According to Ephesians 4:31, anger keeps company with a pretty rough crowd. Ephesians tells us it's bitterness, it's wrath, it's clamor, it's slander, it's malice. These ugly traits are always ready to tag along with anger, trying to influence it. Isn't that the truth? Galatians tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, and patience. You can't have your life filled with these four things and be angry at the same time. If I had that spirit of love in me, that Christ says I should love that one over there the way he loved the church and was willing to die for it, the two arguments we had this year would have never happened. True or false? If I'd been walking around in joy and peace instead of all balled up, Robin, that would have never happened, would it? And if I had that patience in my life, you can't have those things in your life. It's not that God won't let you have those things. It's just you just can't have it and be angry all the time. I want to close with a video. It's only about 4 minutes, and it's not the video I wanted. I wanted to play the Joe Matarese disc jockey fade to commercial, but I just afraid we couldn't get it edited the way it should have been. So let's look at this video, and then I promise we'll be done. Give us plenty of volume.
That kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, someone needs to talk to his parents if they're ever home. What is up with the traffic today? It's always, every day, this intersection's always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. I need some of this dumb road. Oh, there's... Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great lady. The princess of parking. Sure. Take the spot. Way to be considered. Oh, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, ma'am.
About time. Let's see, what do I want?
Can I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookie. The world, your oyster, and he's serving your cookie.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. What can I get for you? I'll
have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
$3.85.
And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience.
Great.
Yeah. Great. Great for me. Winning again. Unbelievable. What? 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 What am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't...
Your copy, sir.
I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, what?
Hey, buddy, come here.
So what does that have to do with today's topic? Anyone? Anyone? I'm ready to go home, so answer quickly.
But when you're not so caught up in yourself, you can see what's going on with others.
Okay. Anybody else? Feedback. Same? Something different? Slightly different?
It's not all about you.
It's not all about me?
There's a Proverbs 14:29 says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding. That's kind of what I was seeing there, where you can eliminate the anger, you have better perception of what's going on around you.
So these people that we would get angry with, they're really carrying something, and they're broken in some way. Is that it? Well, it's not it. I'm here to tell you we've all got that. It's not just them, it's me. Do I have that, Robin? Do I have that, Julie? It's not somebody else is broken and somebody else is hurting. It's all of us are broken and hurting. And that's a great thing about Jesus. He's in the process of fixing us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, first of all, I thank you for a wife that puts up with me. Lord, I just pray that something in this scattershot approach to anger has touched someone's life in a way that only you can touch them through the work of your Holy Spirit. We're all broken, and you're in a process of redeeming us to you. It began on the cross, but it works through your Holy Spirit, through the disciplines that we subject ourselves to. So, Lord, I just pray that the discipline of hearing, the discipline of not just being hearers of the word, but doers also, would cause us this week to look at people with different eyes, to think of how we hurt. Maybe we're not hurting today. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was last year. But whether it's somebody getting his coffee, whether it's that little punk in the neighborhood that's all the time in the way, may we reset our boiling points. May we be more understanding that they hurt like we hurt, whether they show it or not. God, I just pray that you would touch our lives, put out those smoldering fires that are in us today. Release us from those in your mighty holy name. But help us also not to be agitators. Help us to be the kind of people that we don't have to tell people we've got your spirit. People just to know by the way we handle things that we have your spirit. May we be true witnesses. Not just ones who say the words, but the ones that speak more than through words, but through our actions. Forgive us for the times that we've let our anger take us away. Forgive me of my sins, which are many. Change me. Continue to redeem me. Continue to fix me. And fix these people here that are all part of my family that I love. In your holy name, I pray. Amen. God bless.